Universal Music Group wants a piece of the action when Microsoft launches its Zune player later this month. It's Friday, November 10th, 2006. This is PodTech News. The Zune is getting lots of attention from reviewers and the press, not all of it great. But will the latest supposed iPod killer get any traction in stores against Apple's popular music player? This is PodTech News. I'm Jason Lopez. Microsoft is just about ready to roll out its Zune MP3 player, the first serious competition for Apple's iPod. The first photos of the Zune leaked over the summer, and it's always been part of Microsoft's plan to rival Apple's iTunes with a music download site of its own. But there is one bit of actual news in all of the rumbling over Zune's debut. PodTech's Matt Kelly reports.
Home to such artists as U2, Eminem, and Shania Twain, the world's biggest recording company inked a deal with Microsoft today to receive a percentage of the sales of the Zune portable music player, which launches November 14th. Controlling a third of all music sold worldwide, Universal will also get a percentage of every song sold at the Zune online music store. While financial terms were not disclosed, UMG has said it will split the money it gets from Zune player sales with its artists. Microsoft is said to be in similar talks with other major record labels, and analysts predict the agreement will set a major precedent, potentially affecting Apple, Creative, SanDisk, and other mobile devices that playback music. I'm Matt Kelly in Los Angeles.
One note on the Microsoft Universal deal. The contract expires next year. Analysts say the Zune revenue model could be the new wave, or it might end up being just an experiment. When it comes to Web 2.0, this is all you need to know. Video sharing and, well, the opposite of video sharing. Is video sharing coming of age? Catherine Girardot reports.
User-generated video sharing site Grouper.com announced a deal today with Sony Pictures Entertainment to let its users watch and share clips from Sony's catalog of films and TV shows, and of course, purchase the full-length versions if they choose. Grouper's ScreenBytes channel is the latest example of video sharing sites, which have long walked along the razor's edge of copyright violations, reaching out to industry content partners to try to make copyright peace. Sony's statement on the deal makes it clear that they see this as a kind of viral sharing promotional vehicle. The company's betting that if it allows users to share the clip, they, or their friends, will buy the full-length product. Grouper CEO Josh Felser hinted at this kind of a deal when I interviewed him yesterday at the Web 2.0 Summit in San Francisco.
Over the next year, you're going to see a lot of the rights relaxed around what people can and can't do with video that they don't own. Because it's promotional. I think that's exciting, but it's going to take time.
Not all that much time, evidently. In San Francisco, I'm Catherine Girardot, PodTech News.
The divide between email users and instant messaging users is often drawn along age lines. Yahoo, following Google's lead, is incorporating its popular instant messaging feature into the browser pages of its free email service. The new system, unveiled at Web 2.0 in San Francisco, will not require users to download the IM software currently needed. It will be easier than ever for Yahoo email users to switch into real-time mode for instant chatting. Whether older Yahoo users will choose to try it is another matter. New phones are everywhere we look, especially as we get closer to those holidays. While we shop for new phones, we're all looking for a great phone plan that gives us tons of minutes for not much money. Good luck. Well, that's why a new survey from Wirefly is kind of disturbing. PodTech's Michael Klinger has the tech stat of the day.
According to a new study, a scant 13% of users are actually using their phones for 1,000 minutes or more each month. That means some of us aren't holding up our end of the new mobile lifestyle bargain. Come on, people. If you're paying for 1,000 minutes, you should set aside the time in the day to use them. There are 30 days in a month, so let's just say, for an early New Year's resolution, for instance, that we'll try to devote 30 minutes a day to talking on the phone. That still only brings us to 900 minutes, still not great. And it doesn't even take into account that lots of plans throw evening and weekend minutes in for free, which brings you down to about 22 days a month to spend the minutes you're paying for, say you buy 1,000 minutes. That means if we really want to improve these stats, we'll need to ramp up to 45 minutes every business day. If you're going to be part of the increasingly mobile lifestyle movement, you've got to start relying more heavily on your phone. I'm talking to you, 87% that isn't permanently attached to your phone yet. Also troubling, the Wirefly report shows some slowpokes when it comes to camera use on phone. Looks like there's still 14% out there that don't take phone pictures at all. We'll talk about that some other time. With your tech stat of the day, I'm Michael Klinger.
Stories of record profits for cell phone providers are running alongside predictions that growth is unsustainable. Add to that competition from internet calling, and things really start to get exciting for investors. This week, Yahoo and Cisco's Linksys introduced a phone that makes free internet calls in addition to the old-fashioned kind. It's a cordless phone that uses Yahoo Messenger technology to connect, as well as search to find phone numbers for stuff you might like to know. Most calls, locally or around the world, will be free. The phone, however, is about $100. It'll be available just in time for the holidays. And in our science news today, the moon is more than just a big rock. According to a report in Nature, the moon might not be the geologically dead body that scientists have thought it was. A Brown University scientist, Peter Schultz, says there have been gas eruptions even as recently as 10 million years ago. That's like yesterday. That would mean that craters thought to have been made by meteors are actually produced from underground. Schultz's research suggests there are more eruptions in the moon's future. And a quick question, why do other moons have names but ours apparently does not? After all, we don't live on the planet, we live on the Earth. Scientists at the Department of Energy have a few answers. None of them have anything to do with science. Seems our moon is spelled with a capital M and is a proper name. The generic term moon is not. PodTech News is produced by Michael Klinger, Matt Kelly, and Catherine Girardeau. Come back to our podtech.net/news site tomorrow for our PodTech News weekly magazine of the stories that tell you the why behind tech. Thanks for listening. I'm Jason Lopez.